Well, I've never had much in this world below, but I'm going to a city where the streets are pure gold. Christ made me an heir. I'm a child of the King. Shake hands with the poor boy who owns everything. Shake hands with the poor boy. And how do you do? Have you met my Father? He cares about you. He's the King of all glory. His praises I'll sing. Shake hands with the poor boy who owns everything. I'm depending on heaven, me and my home in the sky, but already I'm headed for the sweet by and by. Christ made me an heir, I'm a child of the King. Shake hands with the poor boy who owns everything. Shake hands with the poor boy, and how do you do? Have you met my Father? He cares about you. He's the King of all glory. His praises I'll sing. Shake hands with the poor boy who owns everything. I'm depending on heaven to be my home in the sky, but already I'm headed for the sweet by and by. Christ made me an heir. I'm a child of the King. Shake hands with the poor boy who owns everything. Shake hands with the poor boy. And how do you do? Have you met my Father? He cares about you. He's the King of all glory. His praises I'll sing. Shake hands with the poor boy who owns everything.
All right, St. Mark this morning, chapter 5 of St. Mark. We've been preaching on people that met Jesus. In St. Mark chapter 5, we're going to read the first 6 verses there of St. Mark chapter 5. Got my lapel mic on back there, brother. All right, St. Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. And the Bible said, there came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshiped him. Thank you, may be seated. Our Father, as we come this morning, Lord, to once again, Lord, to proclaim the Word of God, we ask that, Lord, this morning, and Lord, that you would anoint this preacher again today afresh, and Father, to give me the words that, Lord, need to be spoken today, Father. And Lord, as we look to you this morning, Father, we thank you, Lord, for that one day we met you, and Lord, it changed our life for time and eternity. And Lord, I know there's many people here that has already met the Lord, but I pray that as we, look at these stories in the Word of God about people that met the Lord, that we'll see ourselves in some of them and remind us of that wonderful day, Lord, when we met Jesus. And Father, I pray this morning for those that might be here today. They've heard about Jesus. They've grown up knowing something about Jesus. Heard songs about Jesus and preaching about Jesus. but they've really never met the Lord. And I pray that this morning that somebody in this service might meet the Lord in a way that they need to meet Him. Meet Him as their Savior and God. And I pray this morning, Lord, that You'd deal with our hearts. Illuminate my mind to give me liberty and empower me tonight, this morning, to preach the Word of God. And Father, we'll be careful to give You all the praise for saving us and keeping us clean and being with us and calling us and using us for the glory of God. We thank You for all of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And I did not read the entire story for the sake of time, but I will preach from the entire story for the sake of truth. As we look here this morning into the Word of God, I'm sure that by no means do we have recorded in the Bible everybody that met Jesus. Because if we did, this world would probably not contain the volumes of books that it would take to tell of everybody that met Jesus Christ. But here in this reading this morning, a familiar story to those that go to church and read the Bible. To others may be hearing it for the first time. But this is a story here in the Bible. And if you have a study Bible or a Scofield Bible, it'll say over the heading there, the maniac of Gadara. And I want us to look this morning at this maniac. Webster says the word maniac means a lunatic. One that's loony. Moonstruck, we say. That's what that word luna means. And moonstruck. And even today, on a night of a full moon, and people say, man, it must be a full moon because people are acting weird and crazy and all kinds of things are going on. And so here was a man that the Bible says was a maniac. And I want to preach this morning on when the maniac met the missionary. As we look here in the Word of God, we see two people here outstanding in this chapter of the Word of God. One of them is the maniac. We'll look at him first. And the other one is the missionary, and we'll look at him last. But when we look here this morning in verse 2, we find that the Bible said, and when he was come out of the ship immediately, there met him out of the tombs a man. Now, this man was possessed of devils. Amen. Not just one, but devils. The Bible said his name is Legion, meaning many. This man had many devils living inside of him. You say, Brother Ricks, or anybody like that today? Oh, yes. There's a lot of people like old Legion today. And his name was Legion because the Bible said that those devils spoke out and said that we are many. But old Legion on this day, unbeknowing to him, old Legion's going to become a legend, amen. He's going to meet somebody like he had never met before, and his name is Jesus. When we look at this maniac this morning, we're told some things as we go down through the Word of God. I like the Word of God, don't you? I like it when a preacher just takes the Word of God and just goes down verse by verse, and I tell you, it feeds my soul. I've had people say, well, I didn't like that preacher, and I say, why? And they say, well, he uses too much Scripture. There's something wrong with that preacher, amen. I tell you, what feeds a child of God is the Word of God. We look here in the Word of God, and the Bible tells us about this maniac. The Bible tells us that he had an unclean spirit. There in verse number 2, the Bible said that this man met him, and the Bible said he had an unclean spirit. You'll say, what's that mean, Brother Rick? Well, I believe it means he had a defiled, filthy, ungodly spirit. I've met people like that in my 28 years of being around places and people and things, and I've been around folks that ever time they open their mouths, just some old unclean, ungodly, vile profanity flowed out of them. Some of you used to be that way. You say, what was wrong with me? Well, you had a wicked heart. You had an unclean heart. You had an unsaved heart. You had a defiled heart. You had an unclean spirit about you. And can I tell you that every lost person, before they get saved, is unclean and undone, and without God and without His Son. But here was a man that had an unclean spirit. I believe that if we could have came around that man, that we would have heard some of that kind of talk, and we would have seen some of that kind of a thing. Amen. But when a man or a woman gets saved, that ought to change. It ought to be different. And if you've ever been saved by the grace of God and you still have that old filthy talk, you still have that old ungodly mannerism, I want to tell you that you can't be right with God and have that kind of a lifestyle going on in your life. Amen. And so here was a maniac, and the Bible said he had an unclean spirit. The Bible tells us here in verse number 3, it said that this man lived in an undesirable place. The Bible said he had his dwelling among the tombs, the Bible said. Now you know there's something wrong with somebody that wants to live in a graveyard. There's something wrong with somebody that wants to spend all their life around funeral homes and death and people dying in the graveyard. There's just something wrong with that picture. Amen. You know, you follow these Satan worshipers, and we got them today. We still got them. I hadn't heard much about them in a while. But years ago, I was preaching revival down 1297 down there at Shiloh Church. And it just so happened that the sheriff at that time, he attended that church. I preached about demon possession one night, and the next night he came and brought me some pictures from this town, where that they had came upon a place where that they were sacrificing animals, they were doing deeds of darkness, don't be fooled, my friend. There's plenty of demon worship in Glasgow, Kentucky, and there's plenty of devil worship in Glasgow, Kentucky. But here was a man that the Bible said that he lived in the tombs. He had his dwelling among the dead. You know, lost people, they want to be around other lost people. You say, why? Because they're dead. They're dead in trespasses and sin. God's people want to be around God's people. You say, why? I don't know about you, brother. I'm not dead. I got life. I'm Baptist, but I ain't dead. I got saved and the Lord Jesus came to live in my heart, and I've got life about me. I believe that God's church ought to have life about it. Amen. I believe that God's people ought to have life about it. There's something wrong with these churches you go to that's like going to a funeral home. It's morbid. It's quiet. There's no moving. And if someone says amen, they look at you like you're strange or something. I believe when things are done decently and in order, I believe that God can move and bless His people. And there's nothing wrong with saying amen. There's nothing wrong with praising the Lord. There's nothing wrong with enjoying God as long as God is in it, amen. As long as the Lord is moving in that way. But here was a man that lived in an undesirable place. You think about where some people live at today. Some people live in a crack house. Why would anybody want to live in a crack house? Or there's people there that don't know what's going on crack and half out of their mind and demon possessed and led of the devil. Why would anybody want to lay down one night in a place like that? I'll tell you why. Because I believe this.
I believe that a certain kind draws its own kind. Amen. I believe if you love God and are saved and you're where you ought to be with God, you'll want to be with God's people. Amen. And I'll tell you, if you'd rather be with that devil's crowd, if you'd rather be with that drinking crowd, if you'd rather be with that doping crowd, if you'd rather be with that filthy crowd, I tell you, it might be because you're of that crowd. Amen. Tired of these people saying they're saved and living like the devil.
Amen.
You say, don't you believe somebody can backslide? Oh yeah, I believe it. I have experienced it. But I want to tell you, when you keep living that crowd, I've had people said they're saved and said, preacher, I don't go to church because I just don't like preaching. I just don't like singing. I'd rather be around my old hunting buddies. I'd rather be around my old drinking buddies. There's something wrong with that picture, friend. I want you to know, I find it amazing that people don't want to go to church where there's singing, where there's preaching, where there's praising God, where there's worshiping God. But when they die, they want some preacher to get up and lie over them and say that they're going to heaven and say that they're doing all right. I tell you what, I like what I heard Tony Hudson say not long ago. He said people want to get to heaven and hear Jesus say, well done, when they ain't done well. And he said, it's not going to happen, amen. This maniac lived in an undesirable place. This maniac was unhappy. Look, if you will, in verse 5, the Bible said he was always crying. Always crying and cutting himself, the Bible said. I tell you, listen, he was unhappy. There's people that try to convince you they're happy. They're living in sin, caught up in sin, living in adultery, living with a man they're not married to, living with a woman they're not married to, having a fornication going on. They're living in a situation where they're drunk every weekend, on dope every weekend, and they're trying to convince the world that they're happy. They're happy when they got the dope in them. They're happy when they got the liquor in them. They're happy in the situation when it's going on. But I want to slip in there when they're sitting all alone after it's all over. And I want to see them then. Amen. This man was unhappy. Unhappy. You see, God's people, the Bible said, blessed is the people that know the Lord. That word blessed means happy. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of the Lord. If you'd been here on Wednesday night, I tell you, it got on in the Spirit of God. Got on Sammy, and I just now figured out why he did. He was sitting in Eddie's seat. Eddie, he got your blessing Wednesday night. I'm telling you, say, what did he say? He didn't say much of nothing. He just laughed. He just sat there and laughed and cried and laughed. And I tell you, God's only blessing I know of that can make you cry and laugh at the same time. That you can cry and be happy, amen. But I'll tell you, this man was unhappy. He was always crying. You say, Brother Rick, have you been happy ever since you started serving the Lord? Well, there's been times that I've not been happy. There's been times that I've been sad. But I'll tell you, down in the depths of my soul, I've always been happy. I got right with God. I've always been happy. I decided to start living for Jesus. I've always been happy. I know the Lord, and I know He knows me. I've never been sad one moment that I'm going to heaven instead of hell. I'm telling you, I'm glad this morning that I know the Lord. Amen. He was unhappy. Look at verse 4. This maniac was untamable. The Bible said neither could any man tame him. There was a man there was no hope for. His mama probably tried to help him and couldn't. If anybody will try to help you, it is a good mama that knows God. She'll go as far as anyone can go and do as much as anyone earthly speaking will do. But he had a mama, no doubt, and she hadn't been able to help him. If he had a daddy, no doubt, and he hadn't been able to help him. He may have had friends and they hadn't been able to help him. He reminds me of some people I've seen pass through this church, and nobody could help them. Their mama couldn't help them. Their daddy couldn't help them. Alcoholics Anonymous couldn't help them. And the drug programs couldn't help them. And all the psychiatrists couldn't help them. And all the books couldn't help them. And nobody could help them. And they put them down in the jail and they couldn't help them. And they sent them off to a halfway house and they couldn't help them. And they give them shock treatment and that couldn't help them. But one day they met Jesus. And I want you to know they met someone that was able to help them, thank God. Neither could any man tame him. Maybe I'm preaching to somebody this morning. And you say, preacher, you don't know how bad that I want to quit this foul language that I've got. Well, yes, I do. I remember the morning I got up and got in my car and drove to R.R. Donnelly. I'd been trying to patch things up and fix things up and get things a little closer to God. And I got up at church that weekend and the preacher preached. And down in my heart, I told myself, I said, I ain't going to cuss no more. I ain't going to use God's name in vain no more. I went to work that Monday morning. As the devil would have it, it was a bad day. Everything went wrong. And before the day had even halfway was over, I had already taken God's name in vain once or twice. I was so convicted. I was so defeated. I walked by the guard station. I can remember it like it was an hour ago. And as I come by that guard station, tears in my eyes, I thought, God, I tried not to today, but I couldn't do it. I said, Lord, if you'll let me live this Sunday night, Lord, when I get to go to church again, I'm going to that altar. You say, what happened on Sunday night? I went down to that altar. And I tell you, I got down and I wept bitter tears and I confessed to God that I took His name in vain. And from that moment till this moment, that's never been a problem again. See why? I met someone that could tame my tongue. I wish some of you would meet him. He can tame that gossiping tongue. You said, James said, no man could do it. No man. But there's a God that can. I want you to know that he was untamable. And then he was unwanted. You see, when the way he was living, the way he was doing, no one wanted him. No doubt they drove him out of town. We don't want you. Get away from here. Did you know you can come so vile and so wicked that even the sinners don't want you? I've heard sinners say, they was lost. They was ungodly. They'd say, Lord, he talks so bad, I don't even want to be around him. And them a sinner. They didn't even want him. You know, people, they kill me. One thing about 28 years of pastoring, you get to watch people. You get to study people. Make a lifelong study of people. And can I tell you that they didn't want him because he was so wicked. They didn't want him because he was so ungodly. But you know what? When he got saved, they still didn't want him. There's some people you ain't gonna satisfy them in your sin, and you ain't gonna satisfy them when you get saved. But I'm here to tell you there was one that claimed him and said, I'll take him, and I want him, and his name was Jesus, amen. He was unwanted. Untamable, unclean. Let me tell you something else about him. He was unsaved. That's what his problem was. He was unsaved. You know what some people's problems is? They don't need another church. They don't need another preacher. They don't need another Bible. They don't need none of that. They just need to get saved. That'd take care of it. I believe the reason some church members act the way they do the way they do, are the way they are, is because that they're trying to live a saved life and they ain't never been saved. And you can't live a saved life unless you get saved. Amen. Most preachers have an impossible job. They're trying to get lots of unsaved people to do what saved people do. You can't do it. But I'll tell you what, when people get saved and get right with God, you don't have to beg them to come to church.
That's right.
Brother Sammy, you don't have to beg them to tithe. You don't have to beg them to like preaching and beg them to like singing. No. When you're where you are with God, you crave that stuff. You want that stuff. You can't get enough of that stuff. You say, well, nothing. Just go back to when you was right with God and you craved it, you wanted it, you couldn't get enough of it. But the problem is, there's something come between you and the Lord, and He was unsaved, He was unwanted, and He was unclothed. And Eddie figured me out this morning. He come in, he said, "Preacher, it's cold in here." And he said, "I know why you keep it so cold." I said, "Why is that, Brother Eddie?" He said, "So these women have to put some clothes on." Fall's my favorite time of the year, and I can't wait for winter to get here. And I hope it's a cold. I hope instead of walking around town with a halter top on and a pair of short shorts, they'll have to have on a wool coat all the way down from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. You say, "Well, you oughtn't to be looking." Hey, I'm a red-blooded man, amen. And sometimes you can't keep from looking, but you can keep from looking again. People get mad because someone looks at them. Well, put some clothes on. They won't look at you. Amen. Put some modest apparel on. You won't have any problem. But he was unclothed. He was naked. Did you ever notice in the Bible that people, when they're out in sin and lost, especially when their demon sent them, they don't want to wear no clothes. This man was naked. People get in trouble when they don't. I'll tell you a good study in the Bible, a good sermon. I've never heard it preached on, but it'd make a good one. Nakedness.
That's right. Yes, sir, brother.
God don't look at it the way you do. People run around even at home naked. God don't look at it like you do. And God doesn't do that. I studied in Genesis 3 this year, and I'd never noticed this before. But the Bible said Adam and Eve sinned, and they went and got them some fig leaves, and they made them aprons. But God didn't like their little aprons. The Bible said God killed lambs, and He didn't make them aprons and miniskirts. He made them coats, the Bible said. He covered them up. I remember one time Brother Kogel was preaching along them lines, and he said, "God even put feathers on a chicken halfway down its leg." Amen. I tell you, there's some truth to that. I'm telling you this morning that this man was naked, the Bible said. He was running through the tombs, and he was unashamed. My, what a mess he is in. By the way, if God could save him, and He did, He could save anybody. Amen. He was unclothed. Well, let's look at the missionary. You see, the Bible said in Mark 5 and 1, "And they came over into the other side of the sea." By the way, look back up in verse 35 of chapter 4. "The same day when the evening was come, He said unto them, 'Let us pass over to the other side.'" He knew where He was going that morning. He was headed over there to where this old lost boy was. This old demon-possessed boy was. They had some storms along the way. And if you want some storms, you just try to start getting people saved and you'll have some. You just start passing out tracts and witnessing and praying for people. And if you want the devil to get on you and get in your home and get on your kids and get on everything else, you just try to get people saved. They started over there and the Bible said there came a great storm. But the Bible said, and when he, meaning Jesus, when he came out of the ship, you see, many people have seen Jesus as a preacher. Many have seen him as a teacher. Many have seen him as a prophet. Many have seen him as a good man. But one part of the ministry, people never picture Jesus in that way. But Jesus was a missionary. He was the first missionary. When the first man and woman was lost, the first missionary that came to him, the Bible said, in the voice of the Lord, came walking in the cool of the day, saying, Adam, where art thou? He was the first missionary. Amen. He was the first missionary and probably the last missionary. But many see Jesus. And I want us to look here a little bit at this missionary Jesus. I want us to look at his missionary team. You said team? Yeah, it says, and they came over. Ones that's on the boat, they's with him. They came over. You say, well, don't read where they done much. You won't read where we done much either. But we're with him. Because the Lord ain't going to take a whole lot of time telling about what we do. You know what they do? Read the end of chapter 4. They got afraid. They doubted. They were scared. That's what we do. But he had a team with him. You say he had a team? Yeah, he had a team. And I don't mean them that necessarily was with him, though they was with him, they was a team. But you ever think about what he's got to work with? Well, I'm amazed at how much God gets done with how little he's got to work with. He's got to work with the unfaithful, the uncaring, the compromising, the cold-hearted, the slackers. I mean, God doesn't have much to work with. But you know what? God is still able to get so much done. Amen. He came across and got off on the boat and got off on the land there. And he had this bunch with him. But there's another team you can't see. You say, where they at? They're over in Matthew 3 when the missionary got baptized. And as John took him down and brought him up, the Bible said, there came a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then the Spirit of God came down like a dove and landed upon him, or in the form of a dove and landed upon him. There's your missionary team. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. I used to work with an old Mormon boy. And I liked him. And we had a lot of discussions and talks and Bible studies and all like that. But they're nothing like the Christian church. Most far-fetched bunch of people I was ever around.
That's right.
I mean, I can understand a little bit why some of these cults believe what they believe.
That's right.
But I can't understand nothing why they believe what they believe.
That's right.
Don't even make any sense.
That's,
I mean, it's just
right.
Senseless what they say.
That's right. True.
But I remember one day, he come in the break room. They do things different than we do. One morning, he come in and sat down beside me. That morning, we had a cup of coffee. I had one. He had one. He said, start next year, he said, I'm going to get to know a little bit about what you know. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you see, every year they elect someone from the church to be the elder for that year. And he said, I got elected this year. He said, it's a lot of responsibility, but he said, I have three men that will help me to put my sermons together. And they will help me to know what I need to talk about each Sunday. And they will help me in that way. And I said, well, that's good. I said, I got three people to help me. And his eyes lit up and about a half grin come across his face. And he thought, finally, after 3 years, we struck a common note. He said, you got three to help you? I said, yep. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He about spilled his coffee.
Yeah.
Jesus came over there. He's going to get something done in spite of those disciples. God gets something done in spite of us preachers that fuss and fight among ourselves, and in spite of our odd opinions and different beliefs and things. God gets something done in spite of us. God gets something done in spite of church members fussing and fighting and can't get along. God gets something done in spite of all that. I want you to look at his trip. The Bible said he came over to the other side. Oh, I don't know about you. I just about stop there and have a spell. You see, he was on that side and I was on this side. I couldn't get to where he was, but he was willing to come to where I am. And I'm glad one day in the fullness of time, the Father looked over at him and said, let's go over to the other side. I'm glad they came over in the womb of a little virgin named Mary. In a little stable there called Bethlehem. And he lived here for 33 years and walked among men, sinless, without sin, undefiled, holy. And he lived, and then he one day climbed upon a cross and died for the likes of you and me. And they placed him in a barred tomb. And it was only barred because he wouldn't need it long, just 3 days. And they placed him in a barred tomb. And on the third day, he rose from the dead, scared the devil, the demons, and everything else in hell to death. And I'm telling you, he never did go back in that tomb. I guess Joseph could have it if he wanted to, because he don't need it no more. I'm telling you, he ascended up on high and is seated at the right hand of God the Father this morning. He took a trip. I want to look at this missionary's talk. He can talk to the devil. And I'll tell you something, the devil listens too. Some of you people that need to do some more Bible study that run around commanding the devil. I'm telling the devil what to do. You need to get in the book. You need to read over in the book of Jude where the Bible said Michael, who was a high ranking archangel, that Michael, when disputing with the devil, did not even bring a railing accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. And I'll tell you about the only thing you and I can do with the devil is to take him to Jesus and say, this is what Jesus said to you. And I tell you, the devil don't care what I say. He don't care what I think. But when I can go tell him, this is what Jesus said about you. This is what Jesus said. I tell you, that makes a difference. You say, how did he talk to the devil? Well, look at it. And the Bible said, there said he, verse 8, this is in different parts. Here in verse 8, he said, come out of the man, thy unclean spirit. Come out! You know what? You do that and the devil laugh at you. You say, I can do it. I hadn't seen none of it. If you can do it, why don't you get some of the devil out of you? Won't you get in front of the mirror and say, devil, come out of me! I'll tell you, when Jesus said, come out of the man, thy unclean spirit. And he asked him, what's your name? You see, he makes the devil say. He's the only one that can make the devil say. I can't make the devil say what's true and what's right. But he can make the devil say. You say, I don't believe that. Well, just hang around one day. And when this thing's all over and everything, all the demons, all the devils, they're going to all get up there in front of Jesus Christ. And he's going to say, now get down. And I want to hear your old split tongue say that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And the Bible said every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. The devil's going to be right down there with the best of them. Maybe when he gets done, we'll say, all say together, we told you so! Yeah, right. Yeah. Amen, brother. And I want you to look here not only at his talk, but I want you to listen to the testimony.
Yes, sir.
I don't care what you say about yourself.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm a good person. I love God. I read the Bible. I try to win souls. I don't sin. I do good. I don't give a hill of beans what you say about yourself.
Right, right.
Because you and me can say anything. Years ago, I heard it said that a testimony is what you say you are, but character is what God knows you are. What you are here this morning don't mean nothing. What means what you and I are in private. And out when nobody's seeing us. The Lord even said over there when he's talking about qualifications of bishops and stuff, he didn't even say nothing about what others thought about you, but he said they need to have a good testimony of those that are without. Those that ain't even in the church, don't even know the Lord. What do they think about you? You see here this morning, this is what the devil said about Jesus. What have I to do with thee, Jesus? Verse 7. Thou Son of the Most High God. Now there's some Bible teachers that don't even know that. There's some preachers that don't even know that. They say, well, I think Jesus was a good man, but I don't believe he's God's Son. The devil knows more than they do. Isn't that something? The devil knows more than some preachers do. The devil knows that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. And then watch this. The devil's besought him. Oh, don't send us into the deep. No, don't put us down there before our time. Let us go into these hogs. You say, what's that tell you? That tells me that even the devil knows he's a merciful God. The devil's even begging for mercy. Even the devil knows he is a merciful God. Don't judge us before the time. And I'll tell you what, here's one sermon that I believe the devil got it all right. He said he's the Son of God. He said that he's a merciful God. And I'm telling you, as we look here, we see not only his testimony, but we see the missionary's tactics. There's something about this scripture that's always bothered me. You say, what is it? It's them poor old hogs out there, 2,000 hogs. They ain't bothering nobody. Eating their slop, eating their corn. Doing their snorting, wallowing in the mud. But they ain't got nothing to do with this. It always bothered me that Jesus told those demons to go into them hogs. And as soon as they went in them hogs, they run violently down a steep place and went into the sea. And died there. Hog heaven. Committed suicide. In other words, they said, we'd rather die than have the devil control us. But God showed me something last night I had never seen before. You know why God sacrificed them 2,000 hogs? I'll tell you why. Look. It said, and the unclean spirits, verse 13, went out and entered into a swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place under the sea, and there were about 2,000 or something in that. I don't know what it is. And they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. He sacrificed 2,000 hogs to get them to come and see what he had done and to hear what he had to say. Now that oughtn't surprise you, because he sacrificed his only begotten Son that you and I might be willing to come and hear the Word of God and be saved by the grace of God. Amen. What was he doing? He was trying to get them out there. You want to know why people have troubles, trials, and tribulations? I don't have all the answers, and this doesn't cover every situation. But sometimes the reason you're having it, God's trying to get you out to hear something. The only way you'll come is when you get down so low and down and out and realize you're going to have help from God. And sometimes the reason all this stuff's happening, God's trying to get you out to hear something and to see something. The missionaries' tactics. Boy, here's a strange thing in verse 17. Some strange things in this chapter. They come out of town. He's got their hometown boy. He's sitting there. He's clothed. He's in his right mind. He's calm. He's been converted. He's been claimed. And he's sitting there. You'd think the people in town would be glad for their hometown boy to see what God had done for him. But the strange thing here, the Bible said, and the devil prayed him. Or I'm sorry, it's verse 16 said, it said, where am I at here? Verse 17. Yeah, they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. In other words, they said, Jesus, get out of here. Wicked. Ungodly. Hellbound. Don't want Jesus. You say, my, what a bunch. Yeah, the same bunch in the Supreme Court. The same bunch that don't want Jesus in school. The same bunch that don't want Jesus down at the courthouse. The same bunch that don't want to be nothing prayed in Jesus' name. The same bunch!
Amen! Amen!
You look at what our schools was before all of that mess started. You look at what our government was before all that mess started. You look at what this country was when they exalted Jesus and believed in Jesus. And if you said anything about Him, you'd probably be jailed or run out of town or tarred and feathered or burned at the stake. I'm telling you, this country was better then before we ran Jesus out of town.
Good preaching, brother. Good preaching. Amen.
Told him to leave.
Amen.
I've heard people in church settings that either wasn't saved or wasn't right with God. And I've heard them testify to me and other preachers. I told God to just leave me alone.
Come on.
I told God I wasn't going to change. I wasn't going to be any different. I wasn't going to get any more dedicated. Just leave me alone.
Amen.
Dangerous.
That's right.
Dangerous thing.
That's right.
I prayed with a lady one time. I believe God would have saved her, but I don't know. I asked her if I could pray. I tried to pray with her, me and another preacher, and she was dying. And I asked her, standing at the TJ hospital out there in the room, just her and me and another preacher. And she told us that she's paralyzed from neck down. She wasn't going to live, and we wanted to pray with her. And she said, no. She said, it won't do any good, and I don't want your prayer. And I said, why? She said, one night I told God to leave me alone, and I didn't want nothing else to do with God. And she said, ever since that night when I told God to leave me alone, she said, I ain't felt God in anybody's preaching, anybody's prayers, in anything that anybody had to do. I believe the devil blinded her. I believe the devil was making her think that. I believe that God would have still had mercy. I believe that God, but sometimes the devil can blind you that way. Can I take time to tell about a 10-minute story? I wasn't asking you, I was asking the Lord. Years ago, Brotherhood Free Will Baptist Church, revival time, fall revival. I was working. Went to revival every night. Tell my wife I'd get off at 7 to 7. Tell my wife, have my clothes laid out, have my bath water run. I'd leave Don, at least somebody, yeah, you go to church because you don't work. Check my record when I did work. I'd go home, get in the bathtub, jump out, put my clothes on, get in the car, drive like a maniac down to the church. That night when I got there and started in, Betty's there. She knows it's true. She was there that night. Marvin may have been, I don't know. Some others, Mammy was there, some others. But there was a man that come to our church, and his name was Jennings Jolly. Jennings was lost. And Jennings told everyone he had committed what he called the unpardonable sin. Jennings said, God won't save me. God won't deal with me. I've stood next to him in an altar call, sat behind him in an altar call. And I've seen him hold that pew. People come to him and he said, it won't do any good. God won't save me. Donald, you remember it. Am I telling the truth? People prayed for that man, cried, testified to that man, and he'd just like a stone, he'd say, it won't do any good. That night, Joe, when I got to the church, and I started in the church that night, as I was already late, and I come by, and it was like the Lord said, look over there, and I looked over there, and Jennings Jolly was sitting over there in the car. God said, go over there and talk to him. Dumb me, said, God, I'm already late. I went on in. Got over an amen corner and sat down. They were already singing. And a little old fellow named Jesse Bowles that used to go down there, love souls. And Jesse got up as soon as I got sitting in the building. Jesse got up, come all the way around over there, down to where I was, come over by me. And he said, Brother Rick, did you see Jennings Jolly out there? I said, yes, I did. He said, I think you ought to go back out and talk to him. Now remember, I hadn't been right with the Lord long. And I said, he left, and I thought, well, if I get up, I just now come in, and it's going to disrupt everything. And then another man come over there and told me the same thing. Finally, God, I told God, I said, God, if you let him live, if you let him stay there, God, as soon as the preacher gets done preaching, God, I'll go out there. But I tell you, I might as well went that first time, Bill, because I didn't get nothing out of that message. I was scared to death he'd be laying dead, body laying dead out there and soul in hell when I got out there. I was the most miserable hour I ever spent. But as soon as that preacher got done and he turned it over to the song leader, I got up, I went out that side door and I stepped out there and I looked around. No Jennings. The devil spoke to me just as plain as if you was talking to me, and he said, you dummy. Nobody told you nothing. It seemed like just as soon as that come to my mind, it's just like this thought come to mind, and like the Lord said, Lord impressed on me, and the Lord said, I wouldn't have called you out here if he wouldn't hear.
Amen.
And I turned around, and there he was, sitting in a car. I walked over to the car. He didn't know me that well, probably didn't know me at all. And I walked over to the car, I knocked on the window, and he rolled the window down. I said, sir, I said, I've never done anything like this before. I said, I know you don't know me, and I really don't know you that well, sir. And I've never done nothing like this before. But I said, God put it on my heart to come out here and tell you.
Amen.
And I got down into gravel on my knees, and I said, God told me to tell you, sir, that if you don't get saved tonight, it might be the last time you'll ever have a chance to get saved.
Amen.
He said, not tonight. He said, God won't save me. I've committed unpardonable sin. God won't save me. I said, sir, I said, please come. I said, sir, I don't know. I said, there might be something in your body right now that'll take you out of this world. God sent me out here tonight. The whole time, song leader Stanley King is in there leading singing.
Amen.
They come down to the very, they get on the last verse of Just As I Am or some invitational song. And he said, I ain't going to go. And about that time, old Stanley King, in that big bellowing voice, old Stanley roared out, let's sing one more verse. And I said, sir, I said, God, just give you another chance. I said, please go. And I never will forget it. That car door cracked open.
Amen.
He got out. I beat him across the parking lot. I come across the parking lot, and I heard the door slam behind me. When he come through like that, he fell in that altar. He prayed to Jesus. He got saved that night by the grace of God. I was with him the night he died, and the sweat beads of death upon his brow. He looked up to me and said, preacher, it's still okay. I'm telling you that God's got a way to get the lost people there. Won't you look at one other thing? We're done. You say, what do you want us to see now? I want you to see this missionary's new team member. Verse 18 said, and when he was coming to the ship, he that, underline it, had been. I'm glad I'm a had been. I once was lost. But now I'm saved. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed. You kick the devil out, move Jesus in, business will pick up downtown. Things will change when you get the devil out and get Jesus in. He said, prayed him that he might be with him. Well, Lord, I'm saved, but I don't know about this church stuff. Yeah, Lord, I'm glad to get the devil out of my life, but I just don't really like to be around all that singing, and I can't sit very long at a time. He'll go down to the movie house or bingo or the bar and sit for 5 hours at a time on a bar stool. Ain't even got a back to it. Ain't that something? Yeah. We got padded pews. Cushions on the back and down at the bottom. And if that hurts your back, get up and walk around a while. I can preach while you walk. He said, I want to be with Jesus. You get saved, you want to be with him too. Jesus said, he suffered him not. In other words, he didn't allow him to do that, but he said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. Boy, that's a great thing. God had compassion on us. God had compassion on us. And the Bible said in verse 20, new team member. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel.
Amen. That's right, brother.
Yes, sir. The maniac met the missionary and became a missionary. Father, I thank you this morning for the Word of God. I thank you for the liberty, Lord, that I had this morning. I thank you for people here in this church that pray for me every day. And without their prayers, I wouldn't be allowed to have the liberty and that I do to preach the Word of God. And I thank you, Lord. And I pray today that you took this Word of God and you.